Priatelia, vítajte pri Chcem viac podcaste, pretože život je príliš komplexný na to, aby sme o ňom rozmýšľali plitko. Opäť je to špeciálny podcast na špeciálnom mieste. Sme v Piešťanoch na konferencii EVS a máme tu hostia priamo z Izraela, mesianského žida Golana Brošiho, doktora Golana Brošiho. Golan, welcome.
Shalom.
Tento podcast budeme opäť nahrávať v angličtine, takže ak potrebujete titulky, prepnite sa na YouTube, zapnite si titulky vpravo dole vo videu vedľa toho ozubeného koliečka a užite si celý podcast. Ak nepotrebujete, kľudne nás môžete počúvať ďalej cez aj ostatné streamovacie platformy, čiže Spotify, iTunes a všetky ostatné. Golan, welcome again.
Thank you.
We've been talking in the recent podcast about your spiritual journey, about how you found Yeshua, and you said you came to community. And it was Haifa community?
Yep, in Haifa, my first congregation.
That was your first congregation. What happened next? Where is your community now?
Yeah, so now we go to a different congregation, which is called Or HaSharon, the Light of the Sharon. The Sharon is an area between Tel Aviv and a little bit north of Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. So it's called the Sharon area. So it's the Light of the Sharon congregation. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly a new congregation that was started maybe 16 years ago when we joined from the beginning because it was closer to where we live now, which is close to One for Israel College in Netanya. And the congregation is close and we always believe the congregation should be as close as possible to the where you live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, you don't have to drive 3 hours.
Of course, of course.
So that's why we're there now.
And how does your congregations or Messianic congregations in Israel look like?
Yeah, so mainly if you come from the world to Israel, and you would feel at home.
No.
Because there's prayer, there's worship, there's a sermon. Usually there's translation also. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a little bit more emphasis on the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on reading the Torah and the prophets and showing Yeshua in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly it's, you know, worship, prayers, sermon. It's usually the same.
The
communion, you know. Communion, if you're baptized, of course, then you can take communion. And some congregations do it every week, some once a month. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But when foreigners from outside, Christians from the world, you know, from Hungary, from Slovak, and they feel at home because...
Oh, nice.
You know,
and what about the holidays, the celebration? Do you follow the Christian calendar, like Christmas and so on?
So in Israel, you know, Israel is it's many religious people live in Israel, religious Jews, but it's a kind of a secular state. So we have two calendars, the rabbinic Jewish calendar and the general calendar, like all the world. But we do celebrate the Jewish holidays according to their date, the Jewish date. So we celebrate Passover and Purim and Hanukkah and the Tabernacles, you know. We celebrate it in the congregation, but we try to see how they point towards Yeshua, how Yeshua fulfilled the feasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. So that's different. And you also celebrate Shabbat?
Yep. So we do a service before Shabbat. And then on Shabbat, everything, you know, everything stops. Everything is more calm. You know, you don't work, of course.
And you have services on Saturday.
Usually at 11 o'clock in the morning. Some congregations do it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But we and most congregations do it 10 or 11 o'clock for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, when I saw your first time, your ministry channel on YouTube and things like that, I was amazed. There are so many testimonies, not just the Jews become followers of Yeshua, but also Arabs.
Yep. And that's really important for us in One for Israel ministry to bring Arabs and Jews through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua, to bring them together. So in the college, we have Arab students and Jewish students, and you can see you in chapel when we both worship Yeshua in Hebrew and Arabic together.
And that is amazing, you know, because if someone looks from outside, I think no one understands it, that nations that should be enemies.
Exactly.
That are fighting each other are worshiping together, praying together.
We have former students that were almost terrorists. And Yeshua changed their heart. And from hating Israel, they now love Israel and love the Jewish people because of the Jewish Messiah.
Can you share some story?
You know, just the other week, we have a ministry for the Arabs in the Middle East. So a ministry in Arabic. In One for Israel, we have a One for Israel Arabic channel. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks now, there's a guy, his name, it's a different name, but we changed name for protection. Let's call him Youssef. Yeah, and he's a member of Hamas terrorist organization. He's a member. Oh. He's not, you know, he doesn't just like them or supports them. He's a member, the whole family. Yeah? And he started believing in Yeshua. He started following Yeshua. Yeshua saved him. And now nobody knows. If his family knows, that they're going to kill him. You know?
Sure.
So we're trying somehow maybe to help smuggle him out, you know, to a safe state, a safe country before somebody hurts him.
Wow.
So he's technically, legally, he's known as a member of Hamas terrorist organization, but now he loves the Jewish people because of the King of the Jews, Yeshua.
Wow. So part of your ministry is preaching gospel to Arabs?
Exactly. Yeah, because remember, we're 10 million people in Israel, 7-8 million Jewish people, 2 million Arabs, but surrounding with Arabic-speaking nations. So we think one of the best ways to bring Jews to jealousy is with a former terrorist. You know, if a former terrorist can become a lover of Israel through Yeshua, can you think about what it does for an Israeli to see a former Muslim love them because of Yeshua?
It was me. Yeah. That must be something, I think. Yeah. And also, maybe this is the way how to finish the war.
Exactly. Because, again, you can only have true peace with the Prince of Peace, with Yeshua. That's the only true peace. You can have, you know, agreements, but agreements that are man-made would fall apart. The only solution to the Middle East and to the whole world is salvation through the Messiah.
Yeah, you're right. And when we are talking about Israel, Arabs, and war, I think everyone who is following politics,
following
the news, should remember the 7th of October.
Yeah, of course.
And I think everyone in Israel, when I was talking to Shiloh 2 years ago at our podcast, he had a great story of forgiveness after what happened on 7th of October, because he wasn't able to speak to his Arab friends, but God has changed his heart. Mm. Do you remember what you have done?
So we woke up, it's Saturday, Shabbat, you know. We wake up and news started coming to your phone about, you know, rockets in the south. You know, that's nothing new. For 20, more than, you know, 25 years, there's rockets from Gaza to the kibbutzim. So, rockets, we didn't think it was. But then news started coming that 10 people are killed. What? What do you mean 10 people? Usually when they're rockets, we have missiles that shoot the rockets and everything is fine. Then you watch the news and you see 30 people dead. What do you mean 30 people dead? 40 people, and it goes up the number. 120, 200. And it's like, what? You know, the biggest terrorist attack that we had in Israel, maybe 30 when the bus explodes, 30 people. But now you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and then more than 1,000 people murdered. So what's going on? Yeah. It's the biggest, you know, after the Holocaust, that's the biggest pogrom that the Jewish people had in the 20th and the 21st century. The biggest, the deadliest day in Jewish history in a few hours, you know? And it's not just death, you know, by rockets. It's humiliating, cruel death, you know?
Yeah, very angry.
You first you're shocked.
Yes.
You know, you are shocked. You don't believe what you're seeing. Is this a nightmare? Am I dreaming? And then, you know, comes anger and revenge. But that's, what can you do with that? You're only one person. You know, you cannot do anything. But you understand, there's a spiritual war. You know, the enemy hates what God loves. God loves Yeshua. God loves the Jewish people. Satan hates Yeshua. Satan hates the Jewish people. So Satan usually try to hurt what God loves, you know? Yeah. So it's not surprising. It's sad. But Yeshua told us to pray for our enemies, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So we need to find the strength in God to pray for our enemies.
Yeah, but sometimes it's hard.
It's always hard, you know.
I can only imagine because I didn't experience the like that. And when you live through these tough times, through difficult times, how do you handle that? Are you afraid when you go to bed, or do you have special regime?
We always we say in Israel that in Israel you don't live, you survive.
Yeah.
And you're thankful if you wake up the next morning. Nothing is taken for granted. Every day is another gift, and you're not sure we're in a survival mode, you know, the Jewish people for thousands of years. You know, in Passover, traditionally we say every generation they try to kill us, and God saves us. Every generation, from Pharaoh till now. Nothing new under the sun. You know, Satan cannot hurt God, but he can hurt what is close to God's heart, and that's Christians and Israel.
And how does this apply to Christians and to followers of...
Well, the more Christians would love Israel and defend Israel, the more they would suffer persecution. Yeah. The more the church gets away from Israel, the less persecution it will suffer.
Or maybe the more... the church preach gospel and Yeshua, the more persecution will come.
Exactly. Yeah. But again, the church has to know what Yeshua is the church preaching. Is it the Pope?
Yeah.
Or is it the King of the Jews, you know, from the seed of David that came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? What kind of, you know, because Jesus is almost like a phrase, like a catchphrase, you know, like a word that everybody uses. You know, but what is he? Did he come from somewhere? Was he born somewhere? Is he coming back to a certain place in the world? Or is he coming back to Texas? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Okay, what is like your prayer during these days? Because we've been talking about 7th of October, but since then, you know, we invited you to our conference in the end of January, and in the end of February, another war came with Iran, and the planes were landed. My colleague told me, is Golan even going to make it to Slovakia if the situation is going to be like this? And we were not sure what will happen.
I wasn't sure until the plane took off. Because, you know, now there's a ceasefire, but the enemy can always break the ceasefire.
Sure.
The only country that is not allowed to break the ceasefire is Israel. Everybody else can break the ceasefire.
Yeah, so you live in tough times, but it sometimes looks to me that even though you live in tough times, your faith shines more.
Yep, you know, Yeshua promised us that we're going to have trouble in this world, but we're going to have peace in Him, you know? So it's like the Ark of Noah, you know, it's a safe place, like the Ark, even though the water is gushing and rushing and there's turmoil. But when you're in the Ark, even though the world is in turmoil, you're safe in the Ark. You're safe under the wings of God. And God promised, you know, in the Psalm 23, even if I go in the valley of shadow, God is with me. God promised to go with you through the trouble, you know. God doesn't have to pull you out of the trouble, but He goes with you through the fire.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember when the friends of Daniel were thrown into the fire? God didn't just take them out.
Oh,
he was with them. The fourth, yeah. and the king is saying, "We threw three, but I see four
people,
and the one looks like the Son of God." Yeah. You know, so Yeshua was walking with them in the fire.
So, if you want to walk with Yeshua, you have to walk through the fire.
And that's what He promised. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. In the Gospel of John, Yeshua told His disciple, "A day will come when people are going to kill you and think they're doing God a favor.
Yeah, so you don't blame God that he's putting some troubles in your life, because maybe it's his way to be with you more.
Yeah, and the scripture are telling us, you know, the word of God is saying that the world is with a war. The world has a war with God. And if we represent the truth of God in this world, we're going to have trouble. We're going to be persecuted. But nothing compares to knowing God, sure. You know?
Great. What is your most frequent prayer these days? Like when you go through the trouble, isn't it exhausting to go always to the shelter to hide when?
Yeah, but remember, we rest in the Messiah. We rest in knowing Yeshua. And my prayer is always, you know, I pray that God will use me one more day, you know? Yeah. And I pray to hear God say, "You did good, my faithful servant." You know, a servant just wants to please his master. So my prayer is that I would be a better servant to God and that he would sanctify me even better day by day, and I can serve him and be a tool in his hands, a better tool, even though a broken tool, but a better tool in his hand. That's my prayer, that he will just keep using me.
Oh, that's nice. Are these times helping to spread the gospel in Israel?
You know, now we face a revival in Israel because people are thirsty. You know, Israel is really, I told you, it's even though it's a secular state, there's many, many religious, and the rabbinic religion is, there's no separation between the state and the rabbinic religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people are thirsty for something more than tradition, more than just rituals. Because rabbinic, they have a lot of beautiful traditions, but you can say that in rabbinic Judaism, God became the tradition.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's the same in...
In every man-made religion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Jewish people are now looking for something deeper, you know, so for a connection with a living God and not only with a man-made tradition. And, you know, the rabbis can be lovely, but they're only human and they will fail them sooner or later. But in Yeshua, we offer a connection with a living God, a personal connection that you can only get through the Messiah.
Amen. Do you have some, as you told us, the stories of Arabs that are coming to Yeshua? Do you have some rabbis coming to Yeshua?
Yes, actually, there's a revival, and I just met a few rabbis that by secret again. And I'll tell you this.
Like Nicodemus.
What a story, yes. Exactly, Nicodemus. Yeah. A rabbi, and he teaches in the yeshiva. His livelihood, his work is to teach rabbinic law in the yeshiva. Nobody knows he believes yet.
Oh.
Now, he's married for more than, you know, 15 years. He's 40. His wife is a little bit younger, but and they couldn't have children. Mm-hmm. And he was saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was saved, and he was now as the follower of Yeshua secretly. His wife doesn't know. He was praying, and his wife got pregnant just a year ago, and they have a child. Praise the Lord! So you see the power of God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he told his wife yet, but an ultra Orthodox, you know, a rabbi, you know, with a black hat, a black blazer, white shirt, you know. And secret. Nobody knows but him and God and a few of us. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome, Golan. Maybe we have time for one or two more questions. You are a Bible teacher.
Praise the Lord.
At Bible College. I mean, why did you choose to study Bible or to teach Bible?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I said the Bible chose me, you know. I'm not that smart to choose anything good. I think it chose me and drew me in. Yeah. But when Yeshua saved me, I didn't think of anything better to do than to study his word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's his word that the word became flesh. So you study the word, you study Yeshua. The word literally became flesh, right? The word is Yeshua. You start. What better way to be connected with God if not through his word, when his word is alive? So I didn't think there is anything better to do than to study the word that he gave us, which is his word.
Yeah, because you don't get some good money for
no, preaching. We're always, every month we're surprised that we're getting a salary. So what? Oh, we're getting paid for that?
I thought it's for free.
Yeah, we thought it's volunteer. Yeah.
And it's not a job that is appreciated in the
world. Not so much in Israel. No, we are, most Israelis would still see us as traitors. Why did you embrace this, the enemy's religion, the Gentile religion?
Yeah.
And we tell them. But in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, it's promised that Yeshua would be a light, the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. So if Gentile people follow Yeshua, it means all the more that he's the real Messiah. Because Isaiah and the Jacob in Genesis 49, Daniel 7, say the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. All the families of the earth will worship him. And Yeshua, by the way, Yeshua is the only rabbi in history that Gentiles follow. Yeah. And through him, Gentiles know the God of Israel. He's the only rabbi in Jewish history that through him, countless of Gentiles, even in Slovakia,
sure,
know the God of Israel.
Great. Amen.
Amen.
If you need to pick one book or character in the Bible, what is your most favorite?
It's like choosing who do you love more, your father or your mother, right?
Yeah.
But one of the characters one of the books that I really love is Job, the book of Job. And Job, again, is a type of a mess. It's like a shadow of the Messiah, because we hear about, by the way, according to rabbinic tradition, Jewish tradition, Moses wrote the book of Job. Moses. Mm. So imagine when Yeshua is saying, if you read Moses, you would have believed me because Moses talked about me.
Yeah.
So Moses is not only the Torah. Moses could be the book of Job. Because
according
to tradition, Moses wrote it.
Yeah.
So imagine Job, a righteous person, perfect person. You don't hear of any sin, but he's all of a sudden his life is turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And he suffers, and his friends, the friends that know him, think that he suffers because he sinned. By the end of the book, we find out that he suffered not because he sinned. He suffered because he didn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered because he was righteous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God tells his friends, you did not talk to me wisely like Job, my servant. By the way, in Hebrew, my servant is a type of a Messiah. Moses is called God's servant. David is God's servant. My servant, yeah. Eved Adonai, the servant of the Lord, the suffering servant. You know, somebody that suffers not because he sinned, but because he's righteous.
Yes.
And he suffers not for his own sake, but for the sake of his friends. And his friends couldn't see it. Job's friends tell him, repent. You suffer because you sinned. And he says, tell me which sin. I don't know. I want to hear from God. And in the end, God is telling his friends, now you go to my servant Job, and he's going to pray for you, and I will forgive you. And I see the friends of Job as the Jewish people, that up to this day, they think Yeshua suffered for his sins. Yeshua was crucified because of his sins. And most of the Jewish people don't understand that he suffered not because he sinned, because he was righteous for our sins. You know. So I'm waiting for the day that all Israel will be saved and will see Yeshua as Job, as this perfect suffering servant of God, sacrificing, bringing his life for them, suffering for their sake.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Golan. I think we could talk to each other for hours. And my colleague, Slavo,
yeah, of course.
He's going to have a podcast on Job.
Wow.
I don't know if it's going to be next episode, but it's going to be recent episode. Yeah,
sometimes I call it the gospel according to Job.
Yeah, so we'll see. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you, and hope you will come.
Amen.
Sometime in the future also.
I'm in love with Slovakia.
Thank you very much. Priatelia, toto bol druhý podcast s doktorom Golanom Brošim, s mesianským židom z Izraela a učiteľom Biblie. Tešíme sa, že ste s nami zostali až doteraz a dopozerali až do konca. Ako som vravel, Slavo plánuje tiež nahrať jeden podcast, možno že aj viac, o Jobovi, takže určite sledujte náš podcast aj naďalej, ak vás táto téma zaujíma. A samozrejme, ako vždy, ak máte nejaké pripomienky, návrhy, komentáre, budeme vďační, ak nám to napíšete pomáhate šíriť podcast aj tým, že ho komentujete, aj tým, že ho zdieľate medzi svojimi priateľmi. Budeme vám za to vďační. A ak ešte neodoberáte naše rané biblické zamyslenia, napíšte nám tiež, pridajte sa, nájdete link pod videom, kde sa môžete pridať na odber týchto zamyslení. Je to najlepší spôsob, ako začať deň čítať Bibliu spolu s nami. Budeme sa tešiť a tešíme sa na stretnutie opäť pri ďalších podcastoch. Toto boli Golan Broši, Martin Migláš. Ahojte.